Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Morning Edge, and here's Augie.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Well, is it a good morning, or are we in for lots of problems? Obviously, the Republican Party doesn't know where it's at, and doesn't know where Donald Trump is at. The redistricting of the state
is—he's in Scotland.
Well, that's a technical glitch. Where he's at, and where he's going, and where he's taking the party. Or is he taking the party apart? And as an example of what the party does to itself, their courts have ruled now. We've heard this before, but this is coming up shortly. The matter of redistricting. It was already done, wasn't it? Oh, yeah.
You're back in the state, right? State apart.
I never left the state.
Well, you're not in Scotland.
No, I'm not. That's maybe where you are, but I'm not in Scotland. In any event, I mentioned Donald Trump because in Florida he's leading both Rubio and Bush. But what's happening in Florida, is about to happen, is that the redrawing of the districts a second time. The Republican legislators ignored the will of the voters the first time, promised everybody everything, met with people, all kinds of good activities, and nothing happened. In any event, we've got the situation where this thing is, in the case of congressional redistricting, the legislature has bucked the people's will. This is by Kathy Silverberg, who writes for the Herald Tribune, and she's a state Senate writer. In any event, they've bucked the will of the people, and they're trying to negate a citizen-inspired constitutional amendment that required districts to be redrawn on fairness, adhering to population equality as well as traditional geographic boundaries. The heavily Republican legislature instead, based on its decision in a backroom deal to benefit the party in power themselves and to preserve incumbency. The Supreme Court said, do it again, meaning do it over again. You got it wrong, you can't get it right, you can't keep doing the same thing again and again. A similar scenario happened last year, necessitating special redistricting session. And this week, state Senate leaders agreed to call the third special session, admitting to have drawn state Senate districts to protect incumbents. All this is time-consuming, expensive, and drags out into elections, causes confusion among people to know where to run, how to run, and who to vote for. The idea is to elect representatives to Congress who are familiar with and can relate to the people in their district. When boundaries change drastically from one decade to the other, when districts cover wide and divergent geographic area, when politicians move from one area to another, depending on where they think they can get elected, the process breaks down. And when the districts are redrawn simply to protect the incumbents, the electorate becomes disconnected with the process. More disenchantment, more of the same. Anyway, so this is what's about to happen, and this is going to supposedly happen shortly. And they had this, all this began back in May when the Pew Research reported that only 23% of Americans felt congressional Republicans were living up to campaign promises, while 65% said they were not. And yet, prior to the 14 congressional elections, Pew reported that only half of registered voters were able to identify the party of their representative in Congress. I mean, what a mess. What a mess. So We're waiting on Dennis Smalley from the Bradenton Times, and we're hoping he will show shortly. He's our guest.
Here's the bottom line with that redistricting. Mm. If you're not up on what's happening, it's we passed an amendment that that we wouldn't be gerrymandered in the state. That would be by geographic natural boundaries, like Manatee and Sarasota County is District 16 now for the congressional U.S. Congress. And I would say that that's not a gerrymandered district. It used to be gerrymandered. They took a big hunk of Manatee County out in the mostly in the black communities and shoved it up with Tampa, because Tampa naturally is going to elect a Democrat. So let's throw those extra Democrats or scoop them out of Manatee County and give them to Hillsborough County, where they're just going to reaffirm what the outcome is going to be anyway. And we've had a number of, over those 10 years, very close elections where those Democrats had remained in Manatee County, there may have been a Democratic victory. So now there are districts much more gerrymandered across the state, and they've identified a handful of them. And the courts have ordered the with the state legislature, Augie, to fix it, basically.
They said to completely redo it, because it was at least four districts that were completely wrong, but the effect is going to happen on about 14 districts, because it's a subsidiary splashover. So assuming anything's right under these conditions, when the thing has been rigged or sloppily put together, to be kind, you have a situation where you cannot trust the legislature to do the job of representing people.
The Republican legislature.
Well, the Republicans
are... Call it out.
Well, I'm calling it out my way. You call it out your way.
All right.
In any event, I'm saying the existing legislature is run by the Republican Party. They're in charge. They have more votes, and they have more committees, and they decide what to do. Your Medicaid bill that was supposed to put money forward to the people is another example of what this legislature has failed to do. And Medicaid was put up initially for to pick up the elderly who couldn't afford full 100% insurance and other things. And poverty was a motivation. Happened back in the 30s under FDR, and there's been a real fight among conservatives who don't want to pay for anything. They want a free ride. They want tax-free status. All the good things without any sharing in the whole dimension of things. We see no kindness in the Republican Party these days. Compassionate conservatives have been flushed down the toilet. But maybe it was just their words, because their words don't mean much. Medicaid is portrayed as a program that mainly provides government health insurance for the poor families. Supposedly, it is financed primarily by state taxpayers. It is believed to work pretty much like traditional Medicare, with doctors and hospitals paid for on a fee-for-service basis. And here are some facts about Medicaid. While most of the 63 million enrollees nationwide are members of low-income families, more than 25% are elderly or disabled. And although the elderly and disabled make up a minimum of the enrollees, two of every $3 spent on Medicaid go to pay for their care. At least 60% of nursing home residents in Florida and throughout the country depend on Medicaid. Of the roughly $350 billion spent on Medicaid nationally, about 60% is paid for by the federal government. A state government share can vary. In Florida, of the $23 billion overall cost of Medicaid, the state pays about $9.5 billion, or 41%. The federal government pays $13.5 billion. While the federal government pays most of the costs and sets basic requirements, states have tremendous leeway in determining the eligibility and the benefits. So they can say, yeah, we have Medicaid for you. We're going to only give you this, that, or the other thing. The plate is half empty by the time they get done with it. Or they don't give you Medicaid at all, as an example by Rick Scott denying $50 billion of your money coming back to you. States have tremendous power and leeway. Florida has some of the strictest Medicaid limits in the nation. For example, non-elderly adults with no dependents are excluded completely, while families with children must have an annual household income at or below the federal poverty level, $24,250 for a family of four. Besides, despite Florida's restrictions, state legislatures who recently rejected a proposal to expand Medicaid eligibility as called for under the Affordable Care Act contended that the program is broken and wasteful. Yet, if Florida's Medicaid program is broken, the legislature is largely the reason for that. They're to blame. 2 years ago, the state requested an Obama administration granted permission for Florida to provide all Medicaid benefits through a statewide managed care system. As a result, nearly all Medicaid beneficiaries in Florida are enrolled in private managed care plans, HMOs, like health management organizations, HMOs. The state's rationale was that privatization would improve care and save money. The plan worked, sort of. The state health officials recently announced that last year the managed care program had reduced Medicaid costs per member per month a little more than 5% required by the state law establishing the system. But the savings may be short-lived. The Miami Herald reported that companies handling Medicaid recipients have reported losing $600 billion through March of 2015.
$600 billion?
Yeah. Well, they're not getting the money that's due them, so they're not going to get the care.
$600 billion? That doesn't seem right. That just seems way too high.
The companies handling Medicaid recipients have reported $600 billion. Now they can make those numbers up.
Yeah, is that nationally? That can't be just Florida.
Regarding Florida. So they're
a misprint.
Well, this is commenting on. Anyway. They're seeking a 12% rate increase that would largely wipe out the program's gains. But shifting health care costs is nothing new for Florida. See, there it is, Florida. It's the insurance companies saying, we're losing, save us. We charge you up 33% of the total $1 trillion that the health care costs, but we got to go to the taxpayer for that. But if we go to the taxpayer to provide free health care, no, that's bad. That's big government. I think the big corporations have done us such a disservice. It's amazing. In any event, largely because of the state's refusal to expand Medicaid, Florida hospitals are expected to face an $800 million in annual uncompensated care costs for the uninsured. Researchers at Columbia and Northwestern universities recently found that in Florida and, 10 other states...
That must be $600 million.
Not billion. Well, they're losing $600 million through March. That's the hospitals.
That's $800 million. But
they may have. I know these numbers. This is an editorial. Who's the editorial writer? This is from the Herald Tribune. They usually do a pretty good editorial. I'll go on from there, and we can clear this up later. Florida hospitals expect to face almost $800 million in annual uncompensated costs for the uninsured. Researchers at Columbia and Northwestern universities recently found that in Florida and the other 10 states that have not expanded Medicaid, the costs, the yearly uncompensated costs, $6.4 billion, will exceed the state's estimated share of expansion costs, $6.25. So they're going to get money back, but not enough. Medicaid isn't perfect, like all insurance plans, public and private. If it's for profit, you're getting screwed.
So how much money did Rick Scott turn away from the expansion?
$50 billion.
$50 billion. That's annually.
That was annually.
Annually.
He would have gotten
federal dollars coming in here.
It was our money. It was due to come back, and our people receiving it, $50 billion, and then they would have gotten a back-to-back amount in the next year.
And a lot of that would have gone into salaries. Some of it in the materials.
It's fine to go into the benefits of all that and assuming that people care. But obviously the politics mean that people don't care because Krista Fuley and the representatives in the House and the state of Florida has blocked it all the way down the pipe. And Gardner in the Senate wants to go through and bring that money in. And it's the House. If you voted for somebody, for Republican in the House, they voted against your money coming back to you. That's basically what happened. And it's the House, Krista Fuley, that's done that to you. And they're going to have a special session on this thing again. It's about to come up.
Let's just look at this. This is $50 billion. What is it? Over a million people have health care that don't have health care. And it's a gap. If you make less than $7,000 a year, you get Medicaid. If you make between $7,000 and $16,000, you don't qualify. But if you make more than $16,000, then you can buy Obamacare. And Obamacare for, if you make $16,000, $17,000, is about $20, $30 a month.
It's the lowest cost, yeah. It
right.
goes up to $30,000.
Right. As you move up, you get to $24,000, $25,000, it gets a little more. But it's still affordable. The problem is when the Obamacare program was written, the idea was you make between, there's a gap between $17,000 and $16,000, you will now get Medicaid. Well, and the bill passed, and it was supposed to be rock solid. But then the Supreme Court ruled, when they try to knock Obamacare out, and then the Supreme Court says, well, it's really a form of a tax. That makes it legal. So it's not forcing you to buy it. It's a form of a tax. So it's legal. But then the Supreme Court said the states can opt in or out of this section of Obamacare, and about half the states, all of them Republican-controlled, have opted out, including Florida. So the people making between $7,000 and $16,000, they have no health insurance.
But who cares?
Who cares? Well,
if someone cares out there,
I'm going to tell you why.
You can call our line at 941-745-1490. But do you really care if your money comes back to you or not? I think it's a real question, because the attitudes are too damn complacent. There are a few people who mentioned something. Nobody cares enough to really look at what's happening to them. I mean, the complaint of the legislature was that $50 billion was going to be $50 billion 2 years in a row, but it would be dropped by 10%. To 90% of that for the following.
Right, they would have to make it up, and that's the excuse the Republicans are giving, going, well, we'll have to pay the other 10%. But every study that's been done with the impact of $50 billion coming to state says is that state revenues are going to go up way beyond that 10% because of all the economic activity. And you ask, why do you care? Well, there's two reasons you should care. You should care if you have friends or family that fall into that, or you should just be a human being and want to know that over a million people will have health
insurance. So you don't think, Mitch, that the people who disagree with you are human beings?
I don't think that they're acting like human beings.
Well, what are you talking about?
What? You know, a lot of them will call themselves Christians, but I don't even see them acting as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, if you don't really know anyone is directly impacted, and because you don't know anyone, you don't care, then you can look at the economic impact it would have having that money come into the state, because that means more nurses, more doctors, more administrators in health care, more janitors.
That's the business. That's
all going to be working, and this may be why the Republicans don't like it, because these are good-paying jobs, and if you suck up, if the healthcare system starts employing a lot more people, that means the other employers out there are going to have to pay more, because unemployment rates will go down, and people are getting good jobs.
The consequent benefits on healthcare are pretty widespread. The real issue is, why would a group of politicians on either party not want you to have your own money back? And why would a group, I think it's called ALEC for one, and the Koch brothers for two, basically tell members of the party who then in turn brag that they're wanting to defeat the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, brag that we get rid of your care entirely. We don't even make it a consideration. It's not about what's better and what might provide benefits or good economic results. We follow the mantra of our leader, which was Ronald Reckham. Government's the problem, not the solution. If government is the problem, we know how to wreck it.
Yeah, starve the government.
Starve the beast. You've heard that one, too. So this is how they carry it out.
Yeah, but Medicaid it's not government workers. It's private sector workers. They work for the hospital.
But you're arguing a point from their perspective that is moot. And
I know, they're going to ideology. Our ideology says that irregardless of what the consequences are.
No, well, I'm going to put it another way. They're going to that because they can go to that. They can splash big government any way they can and make it the enemy. If you don't know how to run a government or a business or anything else, the thing to do...
Well, obviously Republicans don't know how to run a government.
Well, but they tell you we know how to do things better. And then when they're faced with the issue, Mitch, the issue becomes show us and never have a good alternative. After all, the ACA was Romneycare in disguise. That was out of Massachusetts.
Affordable Health Care Act, for those people who don't know, commonly known as Obamacare.
I think more people are beginning to figure it out. But the clouded issues by the Republican Party are really more about big money making make you out there more dependent on corporate anything. I watched an interview with Morning Joe this morning, and this fellow who was one of the members of his panel was talking to a group of people who were Trump supporters, and they said, what do they like about Trump? He gives you hope. So nobody asked the question, what for? Nobody asked that question. So you wonder what is it that Republicans really want? And I think what they'd just be happy with, other than walking on the bones of the poor and not hearing the crunching sound, they would be happy with paying no taxes, having no bridges, no good roads. Roads and ridges tolled, and they get a free ride on the toll road.
Yeah, they want the private sector to buy the roads so they can put tolls on it.
And so it's allocated to just a few people. Don't you? You fly an airplane. You go on an airplane. I did that just recently, and I witnessed what I saw was a tragedy. First of all, the seating was cramped, and the American Airlines plane that I think we have a caller was a pretty good plane, and the cramped conditions made it. You wanted a better seat. You don't want to be. Do we have a caller?
We do, and it's you and our favorite, direct from St. Petersburg, Lawrence.
Well, we give him too much of an intro. He's only going to get to ask us one serious question. One serious question. Otherwise,
don't
the sound goes off, Lawrence. So what's your serious question?
All right,
I've got
to turn on his mic. Mike, your mic is on, Lawrence.
All right, thank you.
What is your serious question?
Yeah, you mentioned, August, that you were watching Morning Joe this morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I decided to call in and ask, did you see the discussion about Hillary can we speak about that?
I saw that, too.
Yeah, so on the
Hillary... I was talking to August. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, go ahead.
So what's your question regarding Hillary?
Well, what do you think of that? Even Mika is in dismay, and you're talking about the problems of Republicans, and it would be appearing, as everyone on the panel, and if you were watching, would agree, that it appears that the Democrats are in trouble, and you might be jumping Joe Biden or John Francois Kerry, or what is your take on that?
That's your question? What's my take on it? Okay.
Yes, and I'd like to have the courtesy of being able to respond.
Well, if you let me, I will respond to you. How's that?
And I have a response to it as well. I have a response.
In any event, I think the email thing is much ado about nothing, and for Hillary,
amen.
And for Hillary to postpone anything at this point in time and not reveal the whole damn thing is a big, big tactical political mistake. So she's going to get hurt by this. And as you mentioned in your other allegations, is that Joe Biden may have to step in to try to win the election. I agree with the panel. I agree with what your point was, and she has made if she keeps blundering like this, she's going to lose credibility completely. There's my answer.
Do you not think she has lost with the polls that they were citing the credibility?
No, I'd say, I think lots of things can happen. And I, first of all, Lawrence, to put the thing. This is about classified information, number one. And it's well known that the government overclassifies everything. The missing 28 pages for 9/11 and the families wanting that opened up, an entire section of a chapter blocked out. I think we got a real problem. I want somebody to be willing to say, I'm willing to go to jail and I'm going to reveal the 28 pages. And by the way, I'm willing to go to jail and be prosecuted for breaking this classification code that's overused and abused. So that's where I come down.
I'm not quite sure.
Lawrence, who's your Republican candidate?
Do you think there's
candidate?
Any crimes that have been made? Do you think there's any crimes that
I don't know yet if that is the case. Right now, it's too nebulous to know. I mean, you can allege anything. You can imagine anything. And you might even be right, but I don't know that. And I want more.
There's one way to handle it, though.
Which is?
Turn over the server, the thumb drive that they're all clamoring for, that she can and could and is able to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're right about that.
So now, okay.
All right.
That's my answer to both.
Well, no, I appreciate that.
Wait. Lawrence, I want to say something. Because one of the things that was brought up was like the UBS donations to the Clinton Foundation. I actually took a screenshot of the TV. I don't know if you remember seeing that.
I do. Mm-hmm.
And it says USB donations to the Clinton Foundation before 2008 was $60,000. And then by the end of 2014, it was $600,000. Now, they insinuated, look at that, $60,000 to $600,000. And I'm assuming that $600,000 doesn't include the $60,000, and that means for over the seven-year period, you divide $600,000 by 7 years, you come up with about $88,000 a year.
And your point is?
My point is, well, it was $60,000 before 2008, $87,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Like there's a bribe here or something.
Well,
isn't a big difference going from $60,000 a year to $87,000 a year on average.
Oh, okay.
No, I just want to finish making my
Everyone
point
does
here.
It. Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is Joe Scarborough skewing the fact.
I know about this. So let me just make
your point.
Oh, gee. Okay.
All right. But they take these facts and then they put them together and they make it look well. It's 87 versus 60. I don't think it's a big deal. The bank increased its thing. And what does the foundation do? Does that money go into the Clinton pockets?
Question.
No, it goes to good causes,
Mitch,
all around the world.
You're doing this again on me.
All right, go ahead.
You're defending something before it's even questioned. And let's
I just brought it up.
You answered already and more so. To answer Mitch's point on the Clinton Foundation, he's actually indirectly put out something that smears the Clinton Foundation. I'm not sure this does smear the whole thing affects the Clinton Foundation.
That's my point.
And that's so. What we're looking for here is I watch Scarborough. I listen to his intimations. I know he's got his own dirty laundry from years ago when he was a congressman. He was involved in the death of a young woman found in his office. She hit her head, and the whole thing has been shoved under the rug. And it came up on his early shows about him shoving it under the rugs in her situation. He's got his own mess in his stockings. So let me go back. Let Lawrence then respond to what I'm saying here.
All right. Well, here you go, Lawrence.
You're back on, Lawrence. So did you hear what I just said about Scarborough?
Yes, so you're attacking the messenger.
No,
which is a very typical tactic.
Lawrence, I was responding because of the nature of the attacks.
You were attacking the person that put it out there.
He's giving his
opinion. You're attacking
Lawrence,
the messenger.
You're
going to
shout
about
over me. You want to stay on the air and finish the conversation?
You can't handle the truth.
I can handle
the
truth if you have I'm not
censoring.
That's
why you censor people.
I asked you a question.
Now you have John calling, and you can all whack off.
Oh, well, Gene Rose.
That's enough.
Yeah. I think
that's enough. You gave an opportunity to speak. He's attacking you and saying you're attacking the messenger, but he's attacking you.
Well, he says, I am going to censor filibustering. So if anyone wants to call the show and wants to filibuster, you're probably going to lose your voice that way. It's not going to happen as long as I'm here. So the point is, issue with reading the bring up Scarborough, because he's got his own dirty laundry from the past, and he has censored people on his show, kicked them off his show live. One of the guys was from the CNBC Money program, and he had gotten a huge argument at the time. So now you have something that is this matter of Hillary and splashing into the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation was a big part and was supposed to be a big part. And if I were going to fault them for anything, is what the handling of Haiti and after the earthquake, and then during the Clinton administration, Aristide was pushed out by the Clinton administration and the CIA because he was too popular, frankly, for the people. So I can be very critical on all sides of this thing. It's not about attacking a messenger or any nonsense like that. So anyhow, that's
the. Let's go down that path a little further in a way. What's going on with Hillary? Hillary's being very reserved. She's hardly saying anything on any of her positions. And I'll tell you what it's doing to the Democratic community, who was rock solid behind Hillary before. They're like saying, well, Hillary, come on, be bold. Be bold. Donald Trump is being bold, and he's popular, right? Donald Trump is being bold. It is rising in the polls. Hillary's not being bold. Her polls numbers are actually going down. Bernie Sanders is being bold. His numbers are going up. Hillary's got to get out there and start saying what her vision is and what she'd like to do.
I think that she's got to look at her advisors with a skeptical eye for sure. If she's going to stay in this position, she's already gotten herself in trouble with the comments she made regarding what would you do? What was that question? Somebody from an audience made the question to her.
She was asked about the pipeline.
Yeah, the Keystone Pipeline. What would you do about that? Well, her excuse came in the form of, well, I have to wait to see what the president decides. And that just is, if not...
She didn't want to interfere. But,
well, you can say what she wanted or didn't want to do. She didn't do it. And by saying nothing or saying that, coming up with that kind of an answer, she basically lost credibility over something that's an easy answer to. She could say, well, we have a choice. We can put the oil by pipeline or we can put it by rail car. We've seen a lot of rail cars blow up in communities and create havoc in those communities when that very volatile stuff comes rolling down your railroad tracks in your backyard. Or she can say, well, by doing it by pipeline, we got a little better chance at safety. And the argument there, again, comes to the issue, well, do you want to bring that crap into this country for the benefit of, what's that, those brothers called?
Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers who have the refinery down on the Houston port down there near Galveston. There's a benefit here. And so when they can't get their oil delivered right to the refinery, and why do they want to sell it offshore? Because it's crappy oil. It costs more to deal with it. I'm wondering where it ends up is really what my question is on that score. But she stuck her foot in her mouth.
She could say that. She could say I'm bad for global warming.
Right. I was giving her several options you just said. She could have said that. Why she doesn't choose to do it. What she's inviting right now the next polling, it keeps cropping up. And when the Republicans have their debate next Thursday, this is going to make the die get cast a little harder when it gets down to where, let's see, Trump is wins the debate, his numbers go up even higher.
Before you go there, you know what no one ever asks about the pipeline? In Nebraska, the pipeline's scheduled to go cut through
the
Nebraska,
Ogafala,
right over the aquifer.
Yeah, that's called the Ogafala, yeah.
Right, and you got Republican farmers in Nebraska saying,
objecting to it.
No way. Now, why doesn't someone say, you know, I look at a map of the United States and go, well, before we get to Nebraska, why don't we head that pipeline a little further east. Why don't we head that pipeline a little further east and go through Iowa, where there is no aquifer?
Well, you're getting into choices. Who's on the line there?
We'll find out.
We have someone on the line.
It's Lawrence.
Oh, Lawrence. Well, we're not going to make this a show. In any event...
you know what? I want to announce the other phone number you can call.
Go right ahead.
And you can call... Actually, you can call two numbers. 941-745-1490 or 347-989-0132.
So let's say that one more time. 347...
Right, and this number, your
voice
quality actually.
I didn't write it down. 347-989. What's the last part?
0132.
That's a number. It's an online number. You can call that, and you have to dial. You have to punch one after you get in. It can be problematic, but hopefully you can get in that way.
Well, there's two things, because if you want to just listen and you want to leave your house, you can just dial in and be in listen mode. And if you want to talk, you can hit the number one button, and it tells you.
All right, look, we've got another possible caller. Maybe the same.
If you're recording, it tells you that as well.
Okay, so who's this caller?
They rang twice and stopped.
Oh, they stopped. Well, okay, they gave up. Obviously, well, we've had some really roiling, angry shows, and it's a problem when you have that, and when one person can occupy too much of the airtime, you got a problem. But let's talk about something more local here. Let's move to the local situation. Well, I think Medicare, it is really a local thing, but everybody that's poor gets affected. This is a letter to the editor by Sandra Lowe. Now, I have not pre-censored this letter. Fire the police officer. Viewing the footage of the Sarasota police officer, Andrew Hopin, making that poor homeless man eat peanuts off the floor after taunting this obviously hungry man by throwing the peanuts at his mouth, brought tears to my eyes. Mr. Halpin may want to know that it always is always by the grace of God that we go. Mr. Halpin being the police officer. He might have on a policeman's uniform and live well, but he is much lower on the human totem pole than that homeless man. We never know when our lives may take us or where they may take us, and one day Mr. Halpin or someone he loves just may be in that same circumstance of homelessness. I hope the Sarasota Police Department fires Andrew Halpin. Now, there is no place in the police department or really in the human race for someone like him, so he should commit suicide, I guess, Ms. Lowe. Well, maybe something less than that you're going to. Also, the officers who stood by did nothing should be investigated, fired, demoted as well. In my opinion, they are just as guilty as Mr. Halpin. I also hope the family of the homeless man, Randy Miller, sues the department and Mr. Halpin. Alcoholics and drug addicts are not less than anyone else. Many of our veterans are in these two categories. These people need our help and our compassion. Now, there you have a letter to the editor of the Herald Tribune. I look at this stuff because these are viewpoints that are of serious consideration. I witnessed a couple of years ago in front of WSLR three police officers hovering over this homeless person who was covered in what amounted to a brown rag from head to toe, sitting down, was no higher than about 30 inches tall from the top of her or his head. I don't know if it was a man or a woman. And there was a police officer, a younger police officer, among the other two. The other two people were probably weighing in the vicinity of 200-plus pounds, maybe 250 each, a man and a woman police officer. And the young police officer, who probably weighed in his 185, 190 category, was harassing this person. In so doing, I've told this story on the air before, in so doing, they were saying nothing as he was threatening the woman with everything under the sun. And then she or he reacted and did some F-U's and leave my stuff alone and don't throw it around, which is what he was doing to upset the person. Finally, he said, after some conversation, I'm standing the entire time watching with not a word said. And finally I said, after he said this, well, it's going to be a long ride back to the station. I said, excuse me, why would it be extra long? What would make it longer? And then silence took over, and immediately the other two police officers gathered up this person's items, helped him straighten it up, and he shut up and he stopped talking. And I guess they took her to, or him, to the police station. This abuse.
So they were going to abuse that person on the ride home.
Well, you have to wonder if that
right?
is. You don't know, but you have to wonder. And if you want.
Did you see the squad car?
Yeah, it was parked there.
Wait, was the engine running?
No. So it was off.
But it was off. You know why? Because the police were letting that car get really hot.
Well, it was a shaded area. I can't say. It was a winter time, so it was, you know, it maybe would have worked in a bright, sunny spot. But you've told that story, and I think that's an interesting idea. That if they're willing to do all of this other harassment, they're certainly going to be willing to do what you talked about. That is, put a baby in a hot car, you go to jail for the rest of your life. Put a person in a hot car if you're a cop. Maybe it's not such a bad outcome. I mean, so you have to wonder about a community's value.
You risk killing them, but
and you disorient them. So when they have to face any kind of accusations or say anything, they're going to be out of their head from the heat. Yeah,
they're going to look intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get down to the squad room, where the booking room is, where they're getting videotaped.
But we're having repeated things all the time. Now I don't know if this person was white or black because they were shadowed. The face was shadowed and looked like it was dirty. Might have been a light-skinned black person.
You know, it doesn't matter what color their skin is.
Well, what matters is that the police seem to have an attitude. And if you're of a minority or if you're poor, a homeless person, the attitude is to hell with them. And they reflect the common view of the public. I sat at a bar not too long ago down in Sarasota. Why do we have to have these people where they show up? Why do we need to see that? And when I was out in Portland, the guy giving the guided tour, get them to hell out of here. That would be my solution. Now, he didn't care what he was really saying, but he said it to 20 people, the guide on the tour of Seattle. So the attitudes, they show up in different ways. How do we solve our problems if we bury them all the time, if we dismiss them? Or do we care if we solve the problems?
That's because we really don't have a safety net, because obviously these people fell through it.
Yeah, and you saw the recent shooting of the young man out there. Where was that? Just happened.
In Ohio.
Yeah, Cincinnati. Yeah, a Cincinnati University police officer. He couldn't wait to shoot the guy right in the head. I mean, it was just bango, bango, and he was going to get away. Oh well, no, he was going to run over me. Story kept flipping, kept changing. He's now charged, indicted for murder, and the argument will be that he was over-indicted, so they'll get him for some manslaughter or something else.
Well, and the gentleman in the car didn't start pulling away until the police officer pointed a gun at his head.
Well, we've seen it down there in Charleston.
Why is a university police officer off campus pulling over somebody who didn't have a front license plate on? You know,
well, obviously, don't you remember the NRA? Everybody needs to have a gun. I mean, what's going on here? This is a prevalent attitude that we've got to solve our situations
with. It's like once or twice a week, there's some police officers killing somebody.
So you know the police aren't really not protecting you when they're making the issue of the poor more violent and more threatening.
It's not just the poor.
No, I know that. I know that. Then they're going to. The old saying is, if you do the least of these, you'll do unto me. They'll do it to everyone. Mm-hmm. And sooner or later, it'll ratchet back to you. And O'Malley in Massachusetts made the comment that Black Lives Matter, and so do White Lives, he said. Well, they only really matter, White Lives, when finally it does turn around and starts to come back on white people. And then we start to feel it and experience it. And I think otherwise, it's very problematic. Do we have. Oh, we have a big caller. A caller seriously wanting a conversation.
Yeah, I want to announce we have a different Lawrence. We call him the good Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's always been good. We don't have to tell him he's good. So good Lawrence, if you know, I'll use it for the moment.
He refers to himself as the good Lawrence.
You introduced yourself that way. Lawrence, what's on your mind?
That he did have a license plate. He had a rear license plate, but he didn't have a front license plate. Illinois and some states have two license plates, front and rear.
Mm-hmm. And he had, but I thought he had, I didn't know he had one on the rear of the car. You're saying he did.
It's hard to hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why it's hard to hear me. I'm talking.
But I'll hang up. But
no, don't hang up.
Rear.
Pardon me?
And it showed the cop chasing the car after he killed him.
Uh-huh.
On video.
Oh, he saw that.
The cop was running after the car. It was too late. And then the cop said he got dragged. He got dragged by the car, which was a lie.
They fabricated a story, and
yeah,
the video
right.
proved
yeah.
it wrong.
Uh-huh.
And well,
now he's in jail.
And now two other police have been suspended for corroborating what he said, basically.
No kid, yeah. They didn't show that part.
They all should be fired, the other two. Which you get life imprisonment.
You know, this is we solve problems in very curious ways in this country. We say the problem is solved. Well, we put them to death. We got rid of them that way. They're no longer going to commit a crime. The death sentence is a solution, right? We put them up for life. Well, that's a solution. We jail them when they come right out of high school for minor stuff. We get them into the system, and the system chews them up and spits them out in various forms. And Lawrence, it's you've talked about some other issues. I talked about the Medicaid thing. How do you where you come down with the Medicaid issue? Or is that something on your mind?
Well, I'm on Medicare, so they treat me pretty good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by not having the supplement, I don't pay all that extra stuff.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about?
When I had the hernia, it cost $22,000 back in 2013. I had that hernia. I was a hard head. I had a hernia for 43 years. And then first of the year, 2013, I had to go to the emergency hospital. I couldn't get it back in. And then 4th of July weekend, same thing happened. I said, that's it. So I went to see a lady professional doctor, and my blood pressure was up, and they got that down. And I have a what you call primary doctor now. And so it worked out okay for me. The whole thing... With the outpatient, that's the Manatee Memorial Hospital, the whole thing only cost me like $1,100, and I made a lot of visits to the doctor.
Do you have a backup carrier like Arthur?
Yeah.
You do. So why did you pay anything?
Well, I paid about $1,100 total.
No, but why did you?
I went to see the professional doctors, and I got the scan, you know, the track, running on the track. I couldn't run on the track. I was home my hernia, and I've got a weak leg, and so they said, well, we'll put you on the, you know, to give you a drug.
But why I asked,
two ways.
Is your ARP cover anything? I mean, I have an ARP plan, and it covers everything. I don't pay a dime.
Well, see, I'm over 65. You know?
No, I'm talking about, I have Medicare also, Lawrence, so.
Yeah,
but the point is, your ARP plan can cover you for every penny that goes out.
Who can't cover me?
ARP.
Who?
AARP. ARP, you didn't know that?
Is that a supplement?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Oh. You would put, if you had the right ARP supplement, I forget what the letter is, and you would have paid not a dime. So you came out fine. Anything else on your mind, Lauren?
No, that's it. Well, thank you for taking the call.
No, thank you for calling.
Good show.
Thank you for calling. And if you'd like to call the show, the number is 901-745-1490 or 347-989-0132.
So, there we go.
You know, Augie?
You should probably go to the break here pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was just going to say this real quick. You know, you get pulled over today. Are you taking your life in your hands?
Well, the real fear factor that the police provide here is because the trust issue is at hand. I watched a debate between two police officers over this latest thing in Cincinnati, and one officer says, well, how do you know what they're going to do? And this is on up with Chris Hayes, and Hayes says, why do they have to worry about that? Why is everybody threatening them when 560 people have been shot by police in this country this year? So the threat that the police can resort to and excuse themselves
that's
is what's
two
going.
A day.
Yeah.
It's more than two a day
yeah.
so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's some of them just make national news and some aren't.
That's exactly the point right there, what's known, what isn't known. So you have a rough situation, and it's I think we better go on break, but there's something I want to talk about is what's wrong with the Second Amendment.
All right, after the break.
Part of the Morning Edge is brought to you by Collins, Little, and Delgado, practicing personal injury, criminal defense, and family law. Call 941-749-1446. 941-749-1446.
I may be crazy, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. Turn out the light.
Sarasota is home to a true gift. The Posture Clinic of Sarasota with Dr. Mark D'Amato. 4450 South Tamiami Trail, Dr. D'Amato is a veterinary chiropractor treating horses, dogs, or your favorite four-legged friend. First and foremost, animal chiropractic care is not intended to replace traditional veterinary medicine. Complementary care is a type of care that works with your vet and certainly not instead of them. To find out more information, call Dr. Mark D'Amato at 941-927-7009. That's 941-927-7009. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Mark treats two-legged patients, too.
That's human beings.
Hello from ID Shield. You're probably aware that identity theft affects millions of Americans each year. But did you know it's been the number one consumer complaint filed with the FTC for over 15 years straight? Criminals are getting smarter, and they're not going away. That's why you need ID Shield. We provide the information and expertise to protect your identity and resolve issues related to identity theft. ID Shield offers powerful, proactive monitoring of your credit information, so you can rest assured that your identity is always protected. Stay covered with benefits like quarterly credit score tracker with monitoring of your TransUnion credit file on a secure website, black market website surveillance with daily monitoring for unauthorized use of your social security number, credit card and bank account numbers, and any other personal information across the internet. In addition, you always have continuous credit monitoring that can be accessed immediately through your member dashboard. You even get minor identity protection, which monitors any fraudulent activity associated with your child's social security number. Additional benefits include payday loan monitoring to alert members when their personal information is associated with short-term, payday, or similar cash advance loans. Social security number fraud detection, a search that detects potential fraud by searching your social security number in over 34 billion current public records. And even a sex offender registry report to see if your address has been used by a registered sex offender. In the unfortunate event you do become the victim of identity theft, ID Shield has partnered with Kroll, the worldwide leader in theft investigative services. When we detect a threat to your identity, we get working right away. Unlike other providers in the market, we don't waste time retaining an insurer to restore your identity. Our fully integrated partnership with Kroll allows their licensed investigators to handle your identity restoration. This includes, when applicable, sending fraud alerts to all three national credit repositories and correcting identity theft issues with affected banks, credit card companies, law enforcement agencies, and other institutions. Kroll is the best at what they do, and that's why we partner with them. On top of all this, you get ID Shield's $5 million service guarantee, which means if you become the victim of identity theft, we spend up to $5 million to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to restore your identity. No one else gives you that kind of peace of mind. So choose the ID Shield plan that's right for you. ID Shield Individual covers one person and is only $9.95 a month. ID Shield Family covers up to 10 people, you, your spouse or partner, and as many as 8 children, for just $19.95 a month. With our sex offender monitoring, ID Shield Family is a must for parents. Plus, the savings really add up. Compared to our major competitor, a family of four typically saves $400 a year. So arm yourself and your family with ID Shield today. Millions of people lose their identity every year. Don't be one of them.
All right, Augie, we're back. But I just want to say, for more information about ID Shield, go to Mallet Agency and or call me and let me know that you heard it on the radio. It's MallettAgency.com. Or give me a call, 813-924-7994. And Augie, the Second Amendment.
Well, I'm going to read it, and obviously the only part that matters to some people is the part that says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
But it continues, right?
Well, it doesn't go after that. No, it stops there. But the predecessor to it is all about a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's in terms of being part of a militia, not in terms of separate kinds of rights. And if you're not going to honor that first part, and you're going to ignore it, and you have no regulation, you end up with what we've got. Everybody shooting everybody anytime, anyhow.
What's going on.
And it's cropping up. And the police feel free to shoot anybody anywhere, anytime as well. The number of killings by police is over 560. And the excuse is, well, they always go to the blacks killing the blacks or the crime happening within the community, Chicago being a prime example. And you have the children of the poor warring for safety, wanting the police to come in and protect them against the gangs. The kids knowing that they are in the ghetto, they're not going to find a way out because the school system isn't sufficient at all. There's no pathway that's obvious to them. And the easy way to get, Ferguson's a great example of how easily people get pulled into the system with some minor violation, walking while black or something like that. You have this redundancy, repeated business of police basically ghettoizing through the law young kids. So the parents hold them in tight all the time at night after school. Hopefully they don't get killed on the way home from school if they're walking. All these things going on. And yet we can't have a well-regulated militia. If everybody had to have a gun and then report monthly to a militia, state by state or whatever, National Guard, if that became the final definition of a militia, we might have the beginnings of an intelligent and relationship with the gun. It's well known that the gun has been the extension of the penis, and so people feel more male, have more testosterone, and a gun really proves it when it goes off. Wow, what a rush that is.
You know, the people that are hardcore Second Amendment people are the same people that will tell you the government shouldn't spend money on anything, but if you really want to balance out some of the impact of guns in our society, we should, the federal government, because the private sector is not doing it. When the private sector doesn't do it, that's when the government needs to step in.
Doing what?
Mental health. Providing mental health access to everybody. Mm-hmm. So people don't feel quite right.
Well, it's cheaper to put people in our jail system. Lie, it's not. $100 a day. That's the minimum cost you pay for anybody stuck in your local jail. And it goes on up from there because there's all kinds of other attendant costs that come in.
Well, it's more in a prison than it is in jail. A jail is where the police take you.
What's more?
It's $50,000, $60,000 a year to keep somebody in prison right now.
Well, I just said it's $100,000, $100 a day for a bed in a local county jail. What's more costly than that if you go to the prison system? And
it's twice as much.
But in order to go to the prison system, you have to felonize yourself or have to be felonized so you go past the local jail situation. Then you're into something else. But we're incarcerating up to our eyeballs, and now even the conservatives are waking up, meaning that they know it costs money. Well, some of them are really getting serious about it. They know that they can't keep doing what they've been doing. You know, insanity repeated often enough is really insanity, after all. So with this goes right back again to the guy that said government's the problem, not the solution. He
He ruined America.
Well, he ruined
Ronald Reagan.
Well, when he came into office, he took us from a taxable situation for the upper group at 60% marginal tax rate. That's what it was when Carter left office. We had no debt. We were a lender nation, actually. We had less than $1 trillion total debt. And he jacked it up to $3 trillion by the time he left office in 8 years. He caused the S&L crash in 87, nearly caused a major economic crash in the country at that time. Bill Selig, who was the investigator into a Republican, basically said it was legal theft. And what Reagan had done was he had taken $8 billion at that time that was in for S&L's loans only, and said, take half of that $4 billion and use it any way you choose. So they started building stuff all over Texas, whatever, and the government, you and I, ended up having to pay for it. And that is a historical fact, and I predicted that, and he did what it would be. But he came from his state, a two-term governor, and he did the same thing. And we're coming to the
WWPR.
We'll talk a little bit more, and we'll go.
Sarasota, Tampa Bay.
Well, that's about all the time we have.
That's about it, so we're going to have to go from here. So,
and so Augie, I guess we are
out of here. We'll be back on Monday.
Wasn't hurting anyone, and we all enjoyed the weekend for a change. I'm stranded in the combat zone.
That Chrisman visited a house at 110 Rayburn Road in Rayburn Township, Armstrong County. We understand that he knew the individuals who were in that home. We know at this time that he entered that home apparently with their permission.
And he says that Robert Chrisman ran from the jail on Thursday morning while delivering meals to other inmates. Several new fires burning in Bone Dry, California, among the affected homeowners forced to temporarily evacuate. Barry Phipps, who told KRCR-TV that...